Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. This is episode 119. Today is Friday, April 18th, 2025. This is my father's birthday. He would be 99 if he was still alive today. I'm sure that if there is a tennis court up there in the great beyond, he will be out there giving a clinic. It is a beautiful and sunny day. Spring is really in the air here in Nashville. Our first iris are about to bloom. Spring seems to be running about a week late this year, as compared to last year. Thanks, as always, to Ron Trammell for our bumper music. And if you happen to hear a little hammering in the background, that's Ron doing some repair work for us. There he goes. It was 50 years ago this month that I first moved from Ohio to Tennessee, and this was to take a job as the Parks and Recreation Director for the city of Gatlinburg. I could never have imagined the journey of the past 50 years. And so yesterday I had the wonderful experience of sitting down with two remarkable fellows who have built the Parks and Recreation program in Gatlinburg into the award-winning program that it is today, and to celebrate with them 50 years of Parks and Recreation in Gatlinburg. We reminisce a little bit about the early days and also talk about the extensive programs and facilities that they have developed. I'm so proud of the work they have done and what that agency has become. And so I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Marty Nicely, director from 1978 until 2020, and with Lawrence Evans, the current director. And we will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish six beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Marty Nicely and Lawrence Evans, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, today is April in 2025, and 50 years ago, in April of 1975, I moved to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and began working in Parks and Recreation in Gatlinburg. And now 50 years later, you guys have run the show since then and have done a knockout job. So I thought it'd be a wonderful thing to talk about the history of the department and its evolution and each of you and what your experiences are and how you got into the positions you're in. So welcome. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about.
Great. I think me and you, Mark, are the brackets either side of Marty's long career in the middle.
Well, exactly. And Marty, I'm so glad you're able to join us. It was an interesting experience coming to Gatlinburg, and I want this to not to be necessarily about me, but at the time of going to Gatlinburg in 1975, the city of Gatlinburg had completed Minot Park about 18 months or 2 years prior. And the city manager at the time of my being hired was a guy named Joe Booth. I don't know if either of the two of you ever met Mr. Booth, but
I met Joe and knew him. Yes.
Really remarkable, energetic fellow, thoughtful, but he didn't last long as the city manager in Gatlinburg. Unfortunately, I think he had been a city manager or assistant city manager in Johnson City, and I guess he was accustomed to things being moving a little quicker pace and hustling a little more than the people in Gatlinburg were accustomed to. So he didn't last long. I think Charles Earl Ogle was the mayor at that time, and soon after that, George Hawkins was mayor for a short period of time. Those are all names I'm sure are familiar to you. Both of those gentlemen are deceased now.
Correct.
So It was an interesting time, and really, I was kind of a one-man show, other than Jack Hatfield, who was the park maintenance fellow at Minot Park. We did have some staff at the Gatlinburg Country Club pool that was open during those times. Lawrence, do you remember that pool? Did you ever have anything
No,
to
I
do with
never
that?
saw that pool. I don't know when that closed, but I've heard many stories, and many of the guys who work for us right now, remember that.
It was a nice little pool. It was old even when I was there. It served its function.
It was a nice place. It was a nice place to go on a busy day when I'd had enough of the office to
It's
go down
true.
there and check
It's true.
on the staff and check on the operation.
It's true. It's
When did
true.
that close? Excuse me.
I don't remember exactly when it closed. 19, probably late mid 80s, late 80s, late 80s, I think,
Right.
probably is when it
Right.
closed.
Right. So I left Gatlinburg to go to work for Sevierville for a couple of years, and then in 1979 left Sevier County and came to work in state government. So that's the story. That's my story. Interviewed Bob Parker a couple of years ago, who took over the role as director in Sevierville. And now it's come around to the 50th anniversary of the Gatlinburg department, and here are the two of y'all. And Marty, you took the reins soon after I left in Gatlinburg. And tell us about yourself. You're not a native born Gatlinburgian. Tell us about yourself and how you got into that position.
Well, Mark, I was not far from Gatlinburg. I was born and raised in Maryville,
Okay.
Tennessee.
Okay.
And I had a grandmother on my mother's side was actually born on Roaring Fork. She was a Carr,
Okay.
familiar name up here. But I
Right.
graduated from Maryville High School in 71 and went to Berea College, Berea, Kentucky, and graduated in 1975. And then I went to UT for a couple quarters of graduate work. But all during that time, I had a cousin that owned a motel on Airport Road named the Dogwood Motel, and we built a 36-hole putt-putt golf course. And I started having weekly tournaments there. So I had gotten to know a whole lot of people in Gatlinburg. A lot of
Right.
kids, we had 40 and 50 people play in our tournaments on Sunday, and a lot of locals came up there and played. So I knew a lot of people, but after you left, city manager was a gentleman named Richard Barton.
Right. Oh, man.
And I applied for the job and was scheduled for an interview. And I came out to City Hall that morning and to interview. And Mary Ellen Caston, who was personnel director, came out and said, "Sorry, Mr. Barton was fired last night."
Right.
So I
Right.
interviewed with Jack Arthur, who was a city commissioner and who was the interim city manager.
Oh, I'd forgotten that he had
That's
stepped into
right,
that
Jeff.
role. Right.
Jack was a brilliant guy. Had the Gatlinburg Construction Company designed pools
That's right, the
and
paddock pool guy. Yeah.
engineering degree. Very smart. Wasn't necessarily suited to politics because he didn't compromise a whole lot. But
Okay.
Jack took he took about 6 or 8 months, and I was hired and started March 1st of 1978.
Right. And I was in Sevierville then, because I can remember we talked about programming and things during
Well,
those
and
times.
one of the things I remember is that you had already put in a bid to host the 1979
Oh,
conference
gee.
in Gatlinburg. And
That's
you and I
right.
drove to Nashville. You probably don't remember that, but we drove to Nashville to make a presentation. And I can't remember the lady, the little fireball in Nashville.
Mary Wary.
Mary
Absolutely.
Wary. Mary
Yeah,
Wary
absolutely.
made present. She was on the TRPA board at that time, along with some other people. We made a presentation and then hosted the 1979 conference in Gatlinburg. So I jumped right into the
Oh my
frying
gosh.
pan. But
Well,
it was a successful and it was a good transition.
Marty, it's so interesting that you mentioned that. I remember that presentation at the Centennial Park offices
Right.
in the old where Metro used to have their offices. And I remember making that presentation. I don't remember driving over there, but sounds all true. But then I up and left and kind of left you with holding the bag, so to speak.
Well, it went off fine. And as you mentioned, Bob Parker was hired in 79,
Right.
shortly before the conference. I don't remember the exact date, but he showed up at the conference and asked if there was anything he could do. And I told him, no, we've got everything covered. You just go have fun your first year in TRPA here. But it all worked out very well.
Well, I went on to start the Parks and Recreation Technical Advisory Service and Conservation Department, and I spent a good part of my first year on that job working on that dang conference,
Right.
because it was difficult for a small city. I mean, Gatlinburg, didn't it was not a big department, and didn't really have a lot of in-house capacity to do things. So we were relying on the society at large
Right.
to kind of help us deliver programs. And that conference took place in the Sheraton Hotel. I guess it's now Park Vista, or I don't know what it's called now.
It was the only hotel in Gatlinburg at the time that could accommodate the
Right.
requirements for meeting rooms and breakout
Right.
spots.
Exactly. But it was a very, very well attended, and I think everybody got a great time
I
at
think
that
they did.
meeting.
Gatlinburg traditionally for many years had the largest attendance when it rotated among the
Right.
places. Everybody liked to come to Gatlinburg.
Right. Well, I attended a meeting up there just a couple of years ago and had a great time.
Right.
And it was,
That was Lawrence's first conference, I believe. First
well,
one.
you know, it was fun because it was it, the sessions were there in the municipal auditorium area. And that had been completely renovated since I had last seen it. I mean,
Beautiful.
it is nice. You can still see some of the older elements. But that building designed by Hubert Bebb was a classic building, and they did a pretty nice job honoring his design
They were able to keep
and
the
upgrading
arches
it.
in the old auditorium, those a
Right.
lot of the old features, and incorporate
Right.
them into the new design.
Right. Now, Lawrence, when did you begin in the parks and recreation business?
So I came out of the casino business. I came over from Wales working on cruise ships, and then married in '94. Went to Mississippi, Biloxi, Mississippi, when they were opening gaming down there. And
Oh,
then
heck.
my
Okay.
wife's family is from here, and she moved here. Second grade, had a family business downtown called Sweet Fanny Adams Theater, and she wanted to be home closer to her family as they really grew towards retirement. Her grandparents were still alive, so we came back in 2000. Of course, no gaming in Gatlinburg, so I was moving on to another career around 30 years old, and eventually settled here in the community center in 2006. Really, just working as a lifeguard rec aide, and saw what the business was about and thought, well, this is what I kind of think I want to start to kind of hang my hat. But around 2011, my wife's father passed away, and so the family business got kind of thrown into turmoil. So I quit the community center and went to really help keep the family business alive because
Understand.
we were so. So it was so necessary for my wife and my mother-in-law's, my brother-in-law's income. We really needed to keep it going. So I went back there, but then ended up, while I was doing that, getting my degree in, and actually in Parks and Recreation with an emphasis on therapeutic recreation.
Oh, good for you.
And so I graduated in 2014. And then when really went around, I ran a dementia unit for a while with the therapeutic recreation, but ended up back in Sevier County running the senior as assistant director of the senior center. When Marty
Down
called me
in
back to,
Sevierville, the senior
down
center
in
down in
Sevierville.
Sevierville, right. Is
I've
that
done
still
it.
at the old fairgrounds? Is that where they had that?
No, they'd moved it and they had a dedicated building built for the
Okay.
senior center, probably 10 years prior to that. So that would have been
Okay.
around 2006, sound about
All right.
right, Marty?
Yeah.
2006. And so I worked there as assistant director for 3 years, really enjoyed it. But then Marty called me up, and I think Sally at the time called me up, and Marty got down on his knees and begged me to come back. Now, Marty asked me if I'd be interested, and I had 3 kids in the high school right below the community center here,
Right.
where all of our, well, Marty and I's office was. I guess your office wasn't here, but and so it felt ideal at the time. Marty Marty, the assistant director, the community center manager, and several other people were discussing retiring at the time.
Yeah, let me. What Lawrence is saying when he was at the Sevier Senior Center, they sent out a monthly calendar that was inserted in the Mountain Press, went all over the county. And I got that, and they had a calendar of all the events that they had. And it was tremendous programming, a tremendous amount of different varieties of things that they were doing. So we had an opening, and Lawrence had worked for us before and was an excellent employee. So I called Lawrence back up here to talk to him and told him there were going to be some vacancies in the not too distant future. And I think he wrestled with it because he enjoyed working down there. But he decided to come back and immediately had a tremendous impact on us in the department with some innovative things. And was not surprised at all when he applied in 2020 when I retired, and was not surprised at all when he got the job.
Well, excellent. That's excellent. Let's go back in history and talk about the development of Mills Park and the community center. As I mentioned, as we did our intro, Mills Park, the property there was purchased, I think, in 78. And I remember Mr. Mills, who had been prominent businessman in Gatlinburg, and I think part of the Chamber of Commerce. The park was named after him, and he was very very up in age and not in good health, and they quickly organized a dedication ceremony in his honor, and that the park sign that's still there was built pretty much on a hurry up sort of basis so that Mr. Mills could attend that ceremony. Were you there for that, Marty, or do you remember?
No, the construction had already started when I was
Right.
hired, Mark.
Okay.
But I knew Mr. Mills. He was good friends with my cousin who had a motel in town. He was president of First National Bank, and he really understood the seasonal nature of tourism in Gatlinburg.
Right.
And he loaned money to people today that they probably could never get a loan under those circumstances. And let them carry it over through the winter and start making payments again in the spring. And a lot of people will tell you to this day, a lot of the old families will tell you that he was responsible for them being able to have successful businesses in Gatlinburg. So he was an
Well,
appropriate.
he was really loved in Gatlinburg, as was Judd Minot. Well, we can talk about Mr. Minot also, but they did a hurry up sort of dedication of that park, just weeks, I think, before he passed away. But that was the only thing that was there as a park facility. It was just raw land. I think we purchased the property from Mr. Prophet. Oh, Mr. Ples Prophet, I think, owned that property prior to it being a park.
Les and a brother of his. There were a couple of different parcels as we went on.
Right.
Lloyd Prophet and Les. But yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and that property was purchased with a grant from the Land and Water Conservation Fund back in the day that, and I worked strong on that grant application. But there was no really development aspect to that. The development took place later. I do remember, though, that there was a comprehensive plan for Gatlinburg that went back to, I guess, maybe the late 60s, that called for a park being there and a community center adjacent to the high school. And that's where you all are now.
Correct.
Right.
When did the community center get built, and tell us about the development of the park and the community center there?
Well, the community center was a unique project. It had come up one time before at a different location by between City Hall and the post office, and it got voted down in a public referendum. And the downtown business people fought it because they thought it was going to conflict with. They wanted money for a convention center, so there was a conflict with convention
Oh.
center versus community center. So it was a year or two later in 19, I believe, 85, there was another public referendum and it passed by a 3-to-1 margin with this location here by the high school. and construction started. We got open August 1st of 1987.
Okay.
So this building is approaching 40 years old, but
Okay.
it still looks, it's been well maintained over the years. Do a lot of maintenance in-house that's saved thousands and thousands of dollars, and the community's taking care of it, and still looks relatively new, but it's been a huge asset.
So tell us, what are the elements in the facility? I know you have a nice pool, the indoor pool there. What else is going on
Yeah, the
there?
pool is currently under renovation, actually. Probably the
Okay.
first time got a replacement. We've got a $750,000 renovation of the pool. The bowling center
The
was
bowling.
renovated last year. That's a that was a big renovation. We still have the two gymnasiums upstairs, two basketball gyms upstairs, volleyball. The racquetball has kind of fallen out of favor as a
Yes.
sport, and so all of our racquetball courts have now been repurposed. So we have a spin cycle room,
Okay.
a climbing room,
Oh, that's cool.
a matted room for exercise classes, martial arts, that kind of thing, and then a cardio room for all of our cardio equipment, for the what we call
Tones
the
on.
zone, the tone zone, the gym, the weight room, which is upstairs, which was really put in a kind of a what was a multi-purpose
Originally,
area.
when the community center opened, it was just an open multi-purpose area, and we enclosed it, and it's become a really nice equipped tone zone. Lawrence has just put some new equipment in there, and it's well used.
More
Well, let me
coming in
ask
there.
you this: in terms of public use of that facility, Gatlinburg is still a small town, relatively speaking. I don't. What is the current
3,700.
residential population?
3,700, and
Okay.
we're actually shrinking by about 1% for the last 10 or so years. We've been shrinking by about 1.5% a year.
Well, that's, when I was there, I think it was like 2,900 or something like that. It wasn't, you haven't grown much, but the critical thing is that it's so unusual for a town of that size to have a facility of that nature. Talk
Yeah,
about that. Tell us about that.
I say we serve. I always tell people we serve a residential community of around 12,000 to 14,000 people. We don't just
Okay,
serve
how is that?
Gatlinburg, and that's because of Pittman Center, Caton's Chapel, the corridor all the way out to Cosby.
Okay.
And the school children and their families that are right here every day. So even though Gatlinburg only has 3,700 people. Really, the population it reaches, I think Marty uses it. He's here about every day. He lives just outside the city limits,
Right.
right? And so, we're serving people like Marty. And then there's the visitors,
Right.
the daily users, and of course
And
the seasonal users.
Mark, that's an interesting point that you touch on. I gave a speech every year for 25 or 30 years to a college consortium about made up of five different universities, and Lawrence is doing that now. But I talked about the advantages and disadvantages of public recreation in a tourism town, and facilities is one of the advantages. And you have a hotel motel tax, an amusement tax, a restaurant tax. The local property tax is only 12 cents on every $100 of assessed value, which about pays for one department, the operation of the sanitation department.
Right.
So all those tourist dollars have made us able to have tremendous facilities, three city parks, trout facility, handicapped fishing pier, things like that, that a town of 3,700, you're right, would never have all of those facilities in a normal circumstance.
So is there a membership such situation for the use of the community center, or is it just simply pay as you go, or is it both?
We were pay as you go for a long period of time. About 3 years ago, we started an annual membership, really just trying to align ourselves with some of the other departments and to facilitate an easier access for our residents. So, yeah, it's very inexpensive. Currently it's $150 for an annual membership for
Oh
an
my
adult.
gosh, that is
Yeah,
expensive.
it's $15 a month, and so you really can't beat it. But we're about on par with Pigeon Forge and Sevierville, depending. They have slightly different pay structures depending on where you live, especially Pigeon Forge. But I think we're a great asset for our locals. We offer a free basic membership to our high school kids, and our kids who are coming after school, junior high and high school kids who come after school, so they can come in here right after school. The kids are very fortunate, because the community center was actually built on a school board property. It was written into the lease that the school can use the facility for their swim team, their bowling teams, free of charge.
Wow.
It's very unusual. You go to most communities, the school goes to the municipal community center. They're still going to get charged some kind of fee, but these guys get it very. They're very fortunate to have this facility right here. There's now. You'd mentioned the high school before. I think it's worth noting now there's now a junior high down there too. So there's
Okay.
actually a grade 6 through 12 are right below the community center. So we get around 150 to 200 kids right after school now.
That's great. That's fantastic. It's an audience that you can deal with. And I bet you they hit that pool.
Not right now because it's empty. I hope
Well, when
not.
ordinarily they would
Yeah,
be
but.
that pool would be the major attraction.
I actually, recreational use of the pool was not what we expected.
Tell me.
Class, yes, but just purely recreational, come in and play was not what we expected. It was, like I said, it was primarily been used for exercise, swim team at GP. Water exercise classes, things like that. I don't know why everybody in Gatlinburg had access to a swimming pool during the summer at least. So that's been surprising. But it's a beautiful pool. Lap swimmers, outside groups come in and use it. But the purely just recreational come in and play in the pool was never what we anticipated it would be.
So interesting. Let's talk about aquatics just a little bit. We mentioned at the beginning, I guess, that the Gatlinburg Country Club pool was open during the time that I was there. But that was a summertime pool, and it was actually located in Pigeon Forge, so not really the easiest thing for the locals in Gatlinburg to get to. In the wintertime, I was able to talk the folks at the Holiday Inn into letting us use their indoor pool to do recreational classes, swimming classes. Do you remember that, Marty, or were you aware of that?
Yeah, I remember that. It,
Yeah,
yes, I remember that.
Elaine Householder, who's a name you'll both know,
I don't know
I'm
Elaine well.
certain. It was the PE teacher at Pi Phi School. Elaine and I would teach the kids. The elementary school kids swim lessons during their phys ed class in the Holiday Inn swimming pool, and the folks there were, I mean, just so gracious to let us use that pool. And
That continued a little bit when I was hired. We had a scuba class over there, and then we had an open session for some kayakers to come in and practice their roles in the
excellent,
kayaks and
excellent.
that. So yeah, that continued for a little while.
We actually, when I first came to Sevier County, I contacted the Red Cross folks in Knoxville. I was a water safety instructor at the time, and I was curious, were there any other water safety instructors in Sevier County? There was one other person, Joni Summerfield. I don't know if you remember her. Her husband was a banker. But Joni and I did some swim classes teaching Red Cross swim lessons types of stuff at the country club pool. But I was able to talk the Red Cross people into to hosting a WSI training course that we held at the Holiday Inn swimming pool. And I think we trained up about a dozen other people to be water safety instructors, which really did help at that time. And there was at the time a Sevier County summer swim team
Sevier County Swim Association.
right, and they worked out at the Sevierville outdoor pool. There were no indoor competitive facilities in the county. Is that organization still alive, and what's
I
going
believe
on?
so. They have sent kids on. They have some kids out of that program that have received college scholarships, and I think it
I
is.
think it's called SAC. I think they've changed names maybe to
Okay. Yeah.
Smoky Mountain Athletic
Or Aquatic Club.
Club,
Right,
yeah,
right.
sort of. Yes,
And
one by
you
one.
said that Gatlinburg Pittman now has a swim team.
Correct.
Tell
Yep.
us more about that. What's going on with aquatics up there?
Well, they practice here. They're a seasonal swim team. We actually waited on them to get done with their season before starting construction. The end
I
of
understand.
January was when their season is that was done. They do well. I mean, they're not huge, you know, but I had two sons went through their program. They've gone through a couple of different coaches, but they're still around and they're still doing well.
Super,
Yeah,
super.
they go, you know, I did probably 8 years of swim coach dad, you know, going to all those events and a couple of state meets in Nashville. Just last year, I think we were at the state. That's 2 years,
You
I think.
came down to the pool that I swim in every morning. You were
Oh,
at the
really?
Centennial Park pool,
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
is where I swim every morning.
And Gatlinburg's got a couple of great swimmers, right? It would not surprise me if in the next 2 years we have some state champions in Gatlinburg. There's a
Well,
couple
I'm
of
going to pay attention to that. That will be fun.
brothers. There's a couple of brothers that are just phenomenal. They were at freshmen. I believe one of them placed last year as a freshman. You know, and so they've got a couple of years to go.
Now, Lawrence, it's true of parks and recreation that people come into this profession from all kinds of different backgrounds. We certainly have people that come into park management out of resource management and forestry and natural resources backgrounds. We have people come up through athletics. You've come into it through the arts and theater.
Well, I actually forgot one thing, Marty, about how I first came in the building. Do you remember how I first entered the
No,
building? You'll remember when I did. And in 2000, when I came back here, I'm a lifelong martial artist.
oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
You know, back in Wales when I was a teenager, I trained. I was actually on the Welsh team and competed I was the Welsh and British
In
champion.
what discipline is judo or
Taekwondo was my
taekwondo?
start.
Okay.
You know, Taekwondo was what I did with the teacher, but then later, I got my black belt in jiu-jitsu. And the first time I came in this building, I believe, was to ask the community center manager if I could teach martial arts classes here. And that was in 2000. And I did. I started teaching here and actually just stopped teaching July last year. Taught for almost 25 years at this community center while working here. Marty was nice enough while I was in school. When I went back to school, I said, "Hey, is there any chance that I can teach on the clock and make this part of the programming?" And for just a couple of years in there, because I always served as a basically as I was a contract employee, and
Right.
I did it. You know, I paid the community center 30% of what I made. To teach here and paid my own insurance and whatnot. But then, yeah, that couple of years, Marty was kind enough to help me because I just didn't, there wasn't enough hours in the day. I had four children. I was in college. I had three or four jobs. But then, yeah, then and actually, even when I became the director, I was still teaching martial arts.
I see.
And one of my inspirations for working in the community is funny, is a guy out of Kansas City called Steve Scott. He was a community center manager and a judo instructor. He taught the Junior Olympics judo team. And I went to several conferences, got to know him well, got my black belt in jiu-jitsu from an associate of his. And I always looked at him going, I could do that. I wouldn't mind doing that. You know, he's teaching martial arts and he's working in the community center. I thought that was a great idea.
Well, my question was going to be about the arts and cultural activities in the Gatlinburg Parks and Recreation Agency. Tell us about what's going on there.
So, well, I'll tell them a little bit about Rock Gatlinburg. Marty was a big part of that. When I was really just a lifeguard rec aide at the time, but I talked to Marty and our programmer Dave Anderson, who I know you know well,
I know Dave.
at the time, and said, "Hey, I got an idea. I was into the arts. I was, another thing that I did was a DJ, and I had musician friends. And I said, "Hey, we got this program that we want to do for children who are musicians." Pitched this to Marty and Dave, and they said, "Run with it." And we brought in professional musicians for the area. Another thing about being a tourist town, we have a lot of musicians play the clubs and bars around here. And They would mentor the children, these young boys, and we had them coming from all over the
All
county.
over the county, Seymour,
Yeah,
yeah, they.
Seymour and everything. And they would come and we would give them tips on recording. We would listen to them. We had a lot of earplugs, and we'd have a bag of earplugs, so that room was loud. And then we would finish actually at the Smoky Mountain Brewery with a competition. Really, I'd say competition with quotation marks, because these kids, by the time they got to it, they just had such a good time. They didn't care who won. It was more of a performance for them. And that actually won a TRPA 4-star award. That was a really neat.
So, was there any particular style of music that they were focused on, or was it just whatever the kids were interested in?
I'd say most of it was rock and roll. There were a
Okay.
couple of acoustic performances too,
Okay.
more folk oriented, but it was a really fun program. I forget how many years we did that, but over the course of my years, arts were up and down. We got some grants from Tennessee Arts Commission, had the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra up here 3 or 4 times for performances in Mills Auditorium. And we had some other we had some potters offered to teach pottery classes, things like that. But arts, we were not consistently successful with arts,
Right.
not as much as I had wished we could have been.
Right. And when, during the short time that I was there, we had community classes that were held at Arrowmont School,
Right.
which is an incredible resource. But there it was lightly attended. They were wonderful classes, but very lightly attended. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think we've tried to do things here. The senior center was very good at attracting seniors who were into arts. We had wood burning classes, a wood full wood shop, and when I came back, we tried various aspects of that, and to be honest, not a great deal of success. We did have a when I first came back in 2019, I don't know if you remember this, Marty, the juggling. We had a world famous juggler. Niels Dunker. He was actually held several Guinness Book World Records. He taught some classes, some juggling classes that actually I thought were pretty successful. I remember we had one family drive all the way up from Chattanooga for an after school program.
Right. Good
And it
gracious.
blew my mind. Yeah. And the family had taken half a day off to drive up to attend this juggling series. It was a series of
Probably
classes.
wasn't prob juggling probably wasn't offered in too many places,
Places,
so
yeah. That was the most traveled after school attendee I think I've ever seen in
huh.
Gatlinburg.
Youth sports in Gatlinburg was a big deal when I was there. I can remember and this may be beyond your knowledge or memory, Lawrence, but I can remember the Legion Field.
American Legion Field.
The Legion Field was where the sewer plant is now, and it was a football field. And I guess in the day, the field had been used by the Cleveland Browns or something as a training field. And but it had it, you know those the support facilities, the bathrooms, restrooms were completely dilapidated back in when I knew it. But then it was used as a location for the new sewer plant.
You
But
got to
you
deal with the Gatlinburg Boosters Club.
well that's right. And the English Mountain Football Conference,
That's
which
right.
was
Still
that was
ongoing. Still,
yeah.
both of them still in existence.
Yeah, and as the sole professional person in park and recreation, I sort of took it upon myself to help them in terms of getting their schedules organized and all that kind of thing. Nice people and very, dedicated to what they were doing. But that included Cosby, White Pine, Dandridge, all those communities participated in that English Mountain football. And this is junior football. And it's
Still
still going
ongoing.
on.
Still
Yeah.
going on, yes.
The facilities have probably improved somewhat.
I'll bet. Yeah.
We have all AstroTurf fields now
Right.
here.
Right.
somewhat courtesy of Rocky Top Sports World, which is adjacent to this, and then there's a traveling sports facility. A lot of county and city money was used, and again, to Marty's point earlier about being a tourist in town, and this is sports tourism. So, yeah, they play on a fully AstroTurf field now. They have their own little building down there. I would say that you
In
all,
Mills Park.
yeah,
Yeah,
Mills
yeah,
Park, right?
yeah, yeah.
Bud Parton Field. And I was told many times when I first started, this field was built to replace Legion Field, so I know Legion Field
Okay.
very well.
And the field was named after Buddy Parton? Oh my gosh.
Buddy Parton's father, Bud
Oh,
Parton. Yeah,
that
that's
Bud Parton. Okay, I got you.
he was
Understand.
a detective with the police department, but very, very into one of the original, probably founders of the old Boosters Club. Yeah.
Well, and Buddy was involved.
Yes, he was
He was
heavily
a
involved.
policeman at the time that I was there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about tennis just a minute. We're going to go around the round and round. You all have tennis courts at Minot Park and at Mills Park. Am I right about that or no?
No, Mills Park. Originally,
Okay. Okay.
there were two courts that were light. They were the only lighted courts, and they were at Mills Park. But they've gone away.
And what's happened to them?
So that location was turned for a while into a skateboard park.
Okay.
Now, really, it's just a parking area. There's a basketball court and a really neat soccer five-a-side soccer court that's part of that now, that area. I don't know if that's right where those tennis courts were. I think it's next to them. But yeah, we have a large, people don't realize, even though we're a small community, we are about 9% Hispanic lives in this community, especially adjacent to Mills Park. So
Really?
one of the
Okay.
things we did, what year was this, Marty? 21 or 20, 2021, I believe, we converted the basketball court right there
Right
where
to
those
that,
tennis courts used to
right.
be into a basketball court, but also we put a five-a-side soccer court there to kind of help, for the Latino community right
Exactly.
there.
Exactly.
And something that was inspired by something I saw in Mexico. And then Minot now still has the six tennis courts and three dedicated pickleball courts, of course. Everyone had to go to the pickleball courts, and then several of them. That's on the cards for more improvements. But the high school tennis team is doing well. Tennis slowed down for a while, but I think we're seeing a comeback right now.
Okay, I
It
wondered
was
about
about it.
that.
It was it, it peaked shortly after you left, Mark. I know it was very active when you were here.
Very
And
active.
we got to Gatlinburg Tennis Association had up to 85 to 90 members at one time. And we were able to build a tennis building at Minot Park
I've
adjacent
seen that. That's nice,
to
yeah.
the courts there. But it gradually tapered off. But it does seem to be maybe on the verge of a resurgence.
Well, you know that when those courts were built in Minot Park, they built four courts together, and then there was a space, and then two courts sort of outlying, and the space between was not big enough to build two courts in the middle. And I
No,
thought that
nope.
was
It was
crazy.
perfect size for three pickleball
Yeah,
courts.
three pickleball courts there
There
I'm I was, racking my brain trying to figure out what are we going to use this space for? And I thought about maybe some one wall handball courts or something of that nature, which you don't really see that much in local recreation these days. Maybe in Ireland or someplace you might see it,
It turned out
but
perfect for three racquetball courts with parking there.
I saw some pictures of it yesterday on the internet. One of your employees
Austin Thunderbird.
Austin, who I met just this past fall for the first time. Yes, and I'm you're reaching around to grab that mug.
You can't see it. You can't see it for those who are just listening. But yeah,
We
19.
were talking about tennis, and for those that are listening, Lawrence is holding up a beer stein sort of mug that says Gatlinburg Tennis Open 1976. And I had that at the house, and I thought it didn't belong at my house. It needed to be up there. That was handmade by a potter whose name is going to escape me. Ah, hate
Might be
that.
on there. Let me have a look. Yeah. No.
Who
Oh,
was
is that Gerhardt?
Gary Gerhart? Yeah,
Yeah.
Gary Gerhart was his name.
Gerhardt.
And he was teaching the community classes, the community pottery classes at Arrowmont. And I asked him, would he be interested in making some trophies for us? And he handmade those things. So, but yeah, but pickleball has become the thing. And now, do you all have just pickleball at Minot, or do you have it at the other park as well?
Just at Minot and then at the community center for indoors. You know,
Indoors,
yeah,
got
we
you.
do indoors in on the basketball courts, you know, during weather, but they've just really moved out to the outdoor courts now. And
Right.
then we have the you know, the lower that lower two tennis courts. You know, they have four courts marked on them, so we can expand to seven courts.
Okay. Okay.
But
Excellent.
we do some
Excellent.
small tournaments. You know, we do the Senior Olympics in the fall there, and then I think the GCVB is currently getting ready to host a small tournament there. We don't want to do anything crazy there, you know. Minot Park, if you've seen pictures lately, you know, you'll remember the baseball field. I don't know
Yes.
if you remember the baseball, that's recently been renovated. To me, one of the most beautiful Little
It
League
is.
fields you will ever see. If you get a chance, come and see it. But you know, it's still it's a residential neighborhood, and so we really don't want to overwhelm our neighbors. So, you know, we play the Little League games down there. I've always said we're never going to do big tournament play. You know,
Right.
the high school hosts the tennis team down there, and we'll do some small pickleball tournaments. But we're really not interested in crowding out the neighbors. You know,
That
overwhelm.
makes good sense. That
And that's
makes
part of the
good sense.
appeal of that park is being in a neighborhood. Like that, and it's a beautiful location.
It is one of the outstanding local city parks in Tennessee. I've been to 95 counties. I can tell you, it's one of the nicest little city parks. I think that park, and there's a city park in Irwin, Tennessee, that is utilized in the old fish hatchery that we used to be. The U.S. federal government Fish and Wildlife Service had a fish hatchery there, and they declared that property surplus, and the city made it into a little city park. And it is one of the cutest, prettiest little parks. But that one and Minot are the two of the nicest little settings.
Well, since you mentioned fish hatchery,
I was going to say, yes, let's talk about
our
that.
Hope Park, which was North Gatlinburg Park initially, opened in 83 or 84, but you know, it used to be the site of the wastewater treatment plant before it moved down to the spur,
Right.
and we opened that. And Joe Yarbrough, who was city manager at the time, was a big fisherman, and he was instrumental in that too. But took the old drying beds down there, turned them into trout raceways, and started. To this day, it's still the only municipally operated trout stocking program in the state of Tennessee, one of the few in the country. And the current employee, Travis Williams, who Lawrence hired in that position, has taken it to a whole nother level.
Well,
I
tell
mean,
us more. What's going on?
well, I'll let Lawrence talk about it. I will just tell you that we were successful, but he's taken it to a whole nother level with bigger fish and tournaments and guides bringing clients in now from fly fishing in Knoxville and Western North Carolina and all over. But they've just had a major renovation. So I'll let Lawrence talk about that.
So yeah, we took over in you know, I took over in like 2000, and then we was, you know, I was just fascinated by, you know, something, to be honest, I knew very little about. I touring the facilities and going, you know, this is amazing, you know.
Right.
But you know, could we be doing more? You know, and looking across the mountains at Cherokee, they have a great trophy stream. And then a while in, probably just a year into me being director, the position opened up, and I looked around. I'd known Travis for a while through martial arts and other, and just as a police officer. He was a police sergeant here, and you know, he was also guiding in the streams, and so. You know, thought he was an unusual choice, but a great choice. Yeah, you know, but it's turned out fantastic. You know, we immediately just increased the budget just by a small amount. You know, we tried to work with the TWRA to see if we could create a trophy stream in town, And you know, I don't know if you've had experience working with the regulations. It takes a long
Oh,
time.
absolutely.
And in the end, we just asked them. We said, "Well, what if we just start stocking the whole area with larger fish?" And they was like, "Well, that's up to you. If as long as you buy them." And really, for a very small investment, about $4,000, we just started buying trophy-sized fish.
Where
Not
would you
everything, of course.
purchase trophy size
Yeah,
fish?
from a guy called Novak. He's a private entity. We were already in
Yeah,
Marty's
we've
tenure. We were
been
buying fish from
buying
him.
fish from him for years now.
Yeah,
Okay.
we just asked him. We said, "Hey, what's the chances, you know, of getting some bigger fish?" And of course, not every fish we buy is a trophy fish. That's what's the point of that, you know? That's what we argue. You know, like, we don't want every fish to be that big. And then,
And
yeah.
you release the for people that aren't familiar with Gatlinburg, the Pigeon River flows through Gatlinburg,
Yeah.
right through the main part of town and all the hotels, and it's a very picturesque thing. I guess there probably were some fish in there anyway, but you all stock that.
Yeah, that and a couple of streams. You know, we've got Roaring Fork, we've got Rat
Okay.
Creek, and
Okay.
then the one part people don't realize, I think, is that we stock all the way down the spur, because the spur is actually considered Gatlinburg waters until Natty Branch Bridge.
Right.
You know, just past that actually. So basically, from where the river exits the national park all the way almost to Pigeon Forge and Natty Branch Bridge, 6 miles of river, and then the streams LeConte, Baskins Creek, and Roaring Fork. You know, those creeks. So we have children's fishing areas at Herbert Holt Park and at Minot Park.
Right.
So there's an area at each of those parks which you have to be 12 or under
Okay.
to be fishing those. We have the Handicapped accessible pier, which was built during Marty's tenure.
So it was the first one and may still be the only one on a free-flowing trout stream in the state. There are lots of handicapped fishing piers on lakes and still waters, but a free-flowing stream, it was the first one in the state built. So yeah, really, really proud of that.
But we just did, like Marty was saying, we just opened up, God, just a couple of months ago. Time has flown, but we actually demoed the entire trap facility, and rebuilt it from, you know, scratch, and put a large pavilion roof over it. We have an education area now to where we can bring in school children. Travis is very enthusiastic and has taken some classes, so we're going to be bringing local school children to the facility. It's enclosed with chain link now, which helps with predation a whole lot. You know, great blue herons and bears, of course. Otters would get into the netting.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh
Yes.
yeah, pull back the netting. Now there's a chain link fence around it, so it helps a lot. It keeps it cool somewhat having a roof over the facility. The old facility didn't have a roof over it. Really helps our employees work on the area more. You know, it's not really going to help with water temperatures, but it is going to help, you know, with shade. You know, let's face it, you know, you're gonna
Right.
have a little bit more shade instead of them being on
Little
next.
cooler water for the
Yeah,
trout
we're
fish.
hoping for
Yeah.
cooler. So to help with fish loss, you know, especially lately, last few years, July and August, there would be fish loss due to water temperatures. You know, so we're hoping it'll help
Right,
with that.
right.
But Travis has done so much more than we really have time to get into. You know, you probably need to have him on your podcast one day yourself, just
Sounds
because.
like a good idea. Yes.
Yeah, just because he's done things, you know, the feeding that he's done, he grows the fish significantly more than they used to. You know, he's done a really scientific approach on feeding them. He
So
grows.
does he have a specific training in aquaculture or?
Well, I think his actual degree is in forestry.
Okay, well, okay. Well, that's a related field, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've done a lot of you know, on the job training, you know, and send him
Right.
off to courses. He went up to Maine last year on an aquatics course, you know, so he's done some
Like I
classics.
said, he had been a guide in his part time for local fishing company also.
Right.
He's a very smart guy, and he's been extremely innovative. In all honesty, I could not have imagined that he would have been able to take it to the level that it has reached.
We've doubled fish license sales in Gatlinburg has doubled in the last 5 years.
Now, when we speak of fish license, you're talking about
A stamp
the
type of thing.
standard state license,
No,
or is it a
not really. We're
local?
talking about the Gatlinburg trout stamp.
Okay, so you have a different, you have a, your own licensure procedure there in Gatlinburg. I got it. I
So
got it.
you have to generally, it's kind of, it gets a little complicated, but you can have a state fishing license, but then you'll have to spend an additional couple of bucks on a trout stamp to fish Gatlinburg
Well,
trout.
you just, it was complicated, but you just explained
I explained it very, very cursory.
it.
There's probably other avenues you can take, you
You
know.
know, it's fun. Speaking of Legion Field, I can remember doing a Hunter's Ed course together with Wildlife Resources down there at Legion Field a time or two. And always fun to, because hunting and fishing is still a big deal for the local people there in Sevier County. I just have to know it.
The
Always.
Hilbert Park has turned into a phenomenal park. I was down there yesterday, and right when you come into Gatlinburg, it's the first park you come to, just right there off the spur. And the park was renovated prior to the trout facility being renovated, just the 1 year before. And one of the things that I'm really happy that we did, we already had the handicapped accessible pier, which was built in two. It was built prior to the ADA rules in 92. So I think it
Wow.
was
That was,
87, something like that.
oh
Maybe
no,
even
the
those.
fishing pier?
Yeah, was it
No,
'90?
that was
Was
not
it
until
until then?
later. It was after 2000, and it was dedicated to that name. I know you know Mark. It was dedicated to Bill Stevens, who was
Yes, I know.
very, very interested in fishing and fished the pigeon all the time. I don't remember the exact date, but it was after 2000.
Okay.
Okay.
Before the 2010 changes in the ADA rules, then I knew it was
Okay.
prior to one. So we had to do a few, not many, but a little modification there. But what we also did is we improved access with stairs, for down there in that section of the river too. And it's really helped with river access. And it's one of the goals, I think, for the department in the future is to get as much river access as we can. We have this beautiful river that runs right through town, you know. And so the more we can do
And do you have people that wade down through there and fish as they go up and down through? Okay, gotcha.
kids fishing right there off the along the river now. They have this, as I say, these couple of concrete areas. They're right there at the river, so the kids are right there fishing in the stream in right from the park.
Let me ask you this, and we're at about an hour here, guys, so we're going to have to close shortly, but you know, you are in a very unique situation to be adjacent to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the vo most visited national park in America. What is your current relationship with the management there and the superintendent? And tell us how, I mean, is there a give and take professionally with the management there, or?
Let me start, and then Lawrence can take what it is now.
Yeah.
Over the years, it's been a good relationship. All of the city boards or advisory boards usually had a park representative at one time or another. Currently, there is not a superintendent. The
Oh
superintendent
no, I didn't
left.
realize that.
Yes, currently there's not a superintendent, but it was a good relationship. But in all honesty, it's been strained somewhat, in my opinion, since the
The
fires in
fires,
2016. A lot of the local people, whether it was rightly or wrongly, blame the national park for the fire getting into Gatlinburg. I don't think that's entirely,
not terribly fair,
not entirely fair. But regardless of that, there is some resentment. There are still ongoing lawsuits, actually, against the National Park Service by some local people. So it has been a little bit strained since that time. But Lawrence can talk about the current situation, but there is not a superintendent currently.
And to be honest, I don't really know the current situation. I mean, the National Park works with city administration much more than they do with my department. We've had in recent years, we have had some shared programming. We did a story walk trail with some of the, again, the lower level people, and Austin, who you mentioned earlier, and I just a couple of months ago went on a course at the national park for using they've got a new a series of new chairs, wheelchairs, and an accessible
Got you.
off-road wheelchairs, and we did the training course. So if we have children or adults in our programming, that we can help facilitate that from again from our programming standpoint, because we still utilize the national park for our
And
programming, hiking programs,
right.
the Smoky Mountain Hiking Club still meets here at the community center,
Right.
and I think those guys have been meeting since 1907. I read
Right.
once,
And
you
there's an ongoing parks in the classrooms, which started with the national parks going into the school classrooms with the curriculum through
Right.
the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And
Right.
that's ongoing too.
I
Right.
definitely think there's a transition within the park system itself, like Marty said, with nobody in charge right here that I know of. I think that there was somebody put in as
An
an
interim.
interim, but I haven't heard a lot of, from that.
Right.
There's been some recent cutbacks, like a lot of
Right.
government programs, in the last few months. But our relationship, really, the recreation department's relationship with the national park is obviously at a lower level. We're dealing with programmers and people of that nature, educators.
Right.
We have our summer camps coming up. I know Marty. Was heavily involved in. We'll be camping in the Smokies. We camped in
Oh,
Elkmont.
will you? Will you? Will okay. What will you do exactly?
So we just had a spring camp. It was actually our first spring camp based on our summer camp programming. And we took children into the campground. We camped at Elkmont, and
Elkmont.
yeah, we facilitated fly fishing. It was a camp for kids 12 to 16, that around that age group, and they camped overnight. They actually spent the day here at the community center, learned some fly fishing techniques, and then went camped at Elkmont and did some fly fishing and some hiking in the park.
Fantastic.
Summer camps. I'm very proud of our summer camps. That really Marty helps was started, and I believe maybe ongoing.
We started 1 week in 78, the first year I was hired. But when we got the community center open, we expanded it to 4 or 5 weeks. And I think what Lawrence is getting ready to mention too, we try to make an emphasis on getting kids into the national park. You would assume that people that lived here would be in the national park, but you would be amazed at the number of kids when you go in the national park and you ask them, have you ever hiked before? Or have you ever camped overnight before? The number that have never had the opportunity to do that. So,
They might as well be city kids.
right,
Right.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And so we still have a heavy emphasis on getting them out into the park, and really, I think we returned to that. I think for a while we kind of got away and started doing a lot of tourist things, as a lot of kids do. And we really, in the last few years, we've returned back to, hey, and I'll be honest, I looked at that first week that Marty and Randall did, back in 70, 78,
78, right.
and I looked at that and I said, we're gonna when I came back as a programmer in 2019 and said, we're gonna return to that. Well, I want to do more of that. And we even go as far as Fields of the Virginia Creeper, as well. But our summer camps are small, 15 to 20 children only. We now have a great bus.
Right.
We used to have to borrow a school bus. Now we have our own rec bus. The city has been very gracious with the budgets inside since
Right.
Simon
Yeah,
took over.
and Mark, before we go, I want to take the opportunity to do this to make a transition to where Lawrence is right now. You laid a foundation, there was a rec board established, and like you said, you had gotten a grant, so there was a foundation when I came in. We were very innovative in the early years. We ended up further developing Mills Park and Hope Park, handicapped fishing pier, greenhouse, citywide landscaping program, things like that. But when I was getting toward retirement, everything was aged. I mean, the newest city park was 40 years old. Minot Park opened in 1974, so you can do the math. And our administration had been there the whole time also, same city manager, and we'd gotten into really a rut. We were not getting any new financing, and I had been a good caretaker, but it was time for new blood, new eyes, somebody innovative to take it to another level. And I knew Lawrence from his programming expertise, could do that, and he has done that with the change in administration and some funding and Lawrence's expertise and programming mind. It's at a whole nother level now, and I retired at the right time, and the right person got hired, and it's renovations of all the parks of the swimming pool. It's been amazing for me to sit and watch, and I couldn't be prouder of what Lawrence has done, following me up.
Well, thank you for that. That's a very good summation. And congratulations to the two of y'all and to the city of Gatlinburg for, 50 years of sustaining a terrific program there and growing it and growing it. And you really are a model to the small cities across Tennessee and the nation, really. So thank you for joining me today. I wish you both the best and keep on keeping on. Good to
Been a
see
pleasure,
you.
Mark.
All right.
Thanks very much, Mark. We appreciate it.
Hold on just a second.